Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WRKS Pickens Jackson.
Are you ready?
Yes!
Now live from the Whiskey 61 Lounge inside the Bank Plus Studio.
You are listening to
Mississippi's number one sports talk show, The Out of Bounds Show with Bo Bounds.
Streaming worldwide live on the Out of Bounds radio app and on your radio
at ESPN 105.9. The Soul.
Steve Palazzolo, NFL Insider, Pro Football Focus at 8:30. Talk Gardner Minshew. May hit some Dak. Continue to, you know, kind of discuss the Derek Carr to the Saints. We'll see how long it takes the Packers and Jets to figure something out with Aaron Rodgers. Problem is Aaron Rodgers screwed up by doing what he did, and you know the Packers hold the cards in that deal. We've got Russell Wilson and Sean Payton together in Denver. See how that looks, and we're going to have some more quarterback movement. The Saints will play Baker Mayfield twice. They played him last year at Carolina, and then things went sideways. But he's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll see what Atlanta does as far as countering the Saints and what Carolina does with the number one pick. But Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, NFL Insider, will join us at 8:30. And then Ryan Fowler will stop by. Roll Tide Insider, I'm rooting against Alabama in the NCAA Tournament, Sweet 16. That's tomorrow afternoon. We've got four games tonight, which we talked about the first 30 minutes of the game. I mean, of the show, excuse me. And I'm rooting for the San Diego State Aztecs. So I'm trying to channel my inner Tony Gwynn and Eric Coryell, who were part of the San Diego sports scene when I was growing up, and hoping that Bama goes down. And that's how petty I am as a sports fan. We are the Out of Bounds Show, 105.9 The Zone ESPN. It's brought to you by, let's go, since Blake and I were doing this and that, we'll go barbecue shrimp at Kessler Prime.
Ooh.
You can get the bread. Wendy calls it the booby bread. And you can dip your bread in the sauce. And then you pair that with a Long Branch bourbon, either with a Big Rock or an Old Fashioned, and you'll be happy. Long Branch bourbon, it's underneath the Wild Turkey umbrella and Kentucky Straight bourbon. But oak and Texas mesquite charcoal refined. Long Branch Bourbon, KesslerPrime.com to make a reservation. And we're streaming live on the Out of Bounds radio app and the Zone1059.com. We do have some SEC flavor tonight. If you're going to, you know, sit down on that Miskelly sectional or recliner and get locked into some Sweet 16, we've got the Arkansas Razorbacks playing. And they're playing UConn, which is a team that's, you know, been really under Calhoun. Obviously they were really, really good. And they, even that, the, I can't remember the coach who took Calhoun's place. Remember they upset Kentucky in the national championship game in like 2014. And then they kind of, he got in some trouble.
Kevin Ollie.
Kevin Ollie was former NBA player. He kind of came out of nowhere and they won it. They got really, really hot. This happens every now in two sports. It can't happen in football. But in basketball, in NCAA baseball, it can happen. Where a team can get hot. Ole Miss doesn't quite count because they were stacked. But they did go away and then get red hot and win it, you know, last year. But a team can get hot that doesn't have that great of regular season record and still win the title. In hoops and baseball. The Kevin Ollie UConn team did that against Kentucky. And so anyway, the point is we've got Arkansas and UConn tonight. And also, and y'all know how much UConn loves hoops, both men's and women's, right? Geno's been winning for years on the women's side. And then you got Florida Atlantic and Tennessee. And you know that Tennessee loves hoops because Pat Summitt won for years and years and years at Tennessee. And they've had some good, I mean, Don DeVoe was solid plus. And then they went through, you know, they'd be pretty good here and there. But they've really found the magic. And they're committed. You know, their fan base enjoys some hoops. So we've got some SEC flavor. And then you got two powerhouses to end the night. And that's Gonzaga and UCLA. And Mark Few doesn't have a title yet. Like, he's the best coach without a title. Remember the Phil Mickelson thing? Then it was Sergio Garcia. We've had that with NFL coaches like Andy Reid. Andy was, you know, he was at the Eagles forever. And then the first few years at the Chiefs. And then he got that label of best coach without a trophy. And you see that with quarterbacks. And so Peyton Manning got that for about 5 years. And then they finally punched their ticket, you know, against the Chicago Bears in their first one when he was at Indianapolis. Same thing here with Mark Few with the Zags. And they play the UCLA Bruins. And basically it's a pick 'em, you know, 1.5 UCLA according to Caesars. A great place to watch the games tonight throughout the weekend is the Golden Moon Casino Sportsbook and Lounge. It's got a full bar and food. You know, they've got leather chairs, very comfortable. I don't know, 30 TVs. It's a great place to, and they've got two great golf courses right there too, and dancingrabbitgolf.com. So, real quick, we'll go heavy football with a little basketball in the interviews. Steve Palazzolo with Pro Football Focus, heavy NFL QBs. Elijah Moore's now in Cleveland.
Oh,
he'll be catching footballs from Deshaun Watson. And, you know, Elijah Moore is a talented dude. It just didn't quite line up with the Jets. They kind of called him out last year. He realized, you can't do that in the NFL. Talented kid, young man. And so we'll see how that looks in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson and Elijah Moore and some of the other pieces they have there. Gardner Minshew's now with the Indianapolis Colts. He's got a chance to start for a while next year. How long? I don't know. It depends on what they do with their pick. But Minshew signed for $3.5 million plus $2 million in incentives. He's living right. The young man's already made a ton of money. And off the charts bright, can play, and we'll see what that looks like. We'll see what the Cowboys do as far as pieces around Dak. Steve Palazzolo with Pro Football Focus says you always have to be adding pieces. That's not what the Cowboys have done. Will they? It's what some other teams do. The Eagles, the Chiefs, and some other teams. Shanahan and the 49ers. We'll see what happens in Dallas. I can't wait to see how that looks. And then the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes are still in play. I still think he ends up in Baltimore.
All reports are that his people have told Baltimore he doesn't want to be back, but that doesn't mean some team will pay for him. So that will be very interesting. I think Steve Palazzolo will tell you the Cowboys have had a great offseason so far in free agency.
I don't think I would use the word great with those pickups and the veteran pickups and so on.
And who you kept and who you let go. And
yeah,
I think they've had a great offseason.
Yeah, I think that's Cowboys, typical Cowboys, you know, narrative. It's like when Jeff Duncan told us they were loaded and you and I looked at each other and went, they're not loaded. They didn't have the roster of the San Francisco 49ers. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Philadelphia Eagles, and you could argue a couple of more teams. Have they done a nice job? Sure, but this is the NFL. Lots of other teams have done as much as what Dallas has done.
I think they've done a great job, and I think Palazzolo will tell you they've had a pretty dang good offseason to this point.
You want them to win, and I get it. But Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore are, you know, nice players in the NFL, but we're not talking about game-changing stuff. A.J. Brown's a game-changer to the Eagles. Tyreek Hill is a game-changer to the Dolphins. I am interested to see what the Cowboys do in the draft, though, Blake. That's for sure. The show is brought to you by Boar's Head. It's game day. Boar's Head charcuterie board, March Madness, Sweet 16, college baseball. Hit us up on the agup.com text line, 601-885-3776. I have to tell you about this game-changing product I used before a night out with drinks. It's called Z-Biotics. Every time I have a Z-Biotics before I drink, I notice a difference the next day, even after a night out. For example, when we smash steaks and drink bourbon and so on, I do it without worry because of Z-Biotics. You should too. Go to zbiotics.com/OOB to get 15% off your first order when you use OOB at checkout. Z-Biotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/OOB and use the code OOB at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, Z-Biotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. Cheers. Hey, y'all. You know I love my meal kits from Home Chef. Home Chef is awesome. Wendy and I love it. We've ordered the meals. Empty Nesters makes it easy for delicious, nutritious meals brought to you by Home Chef. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/OOB. That's homechef.com/OOB for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/OOB. We love it. You'll love it. Wendy and I love it. Check out Home Chef today. I need to go ahead and say this. I'm not sure what the mental state of the audience will be on Monday if Mississippi State and Ole Miss don't play well this weekend on the diamond. Yeah. I mean, you can't get swept, right? You can't start off 0-6. But man, oh man, if you lose 2 of 3, what is Meltdown Monday going to be like?
Statistically, isn't the most probable outcome that they lose all three?
No, I would say 2 of 3.
You really, after what you've seen from Vanderbilt and what you've seen from this state team through 6 weeks or 7 weeks, you believe that that's really the case?
Maybe I'm being a little too optimistic.
What about?
But you're usually more pessimistic
than I am, though. We just had a segment where you said I was crazy about my fandom for the Cowboys, so I can't 6 minutes later suddenly always be pessimistic.
Well, I was talking about Mississippi State.
No, I'm realistic about both my programs. The Cowboys have had a great offseason, and State has had a terrible last year and a half. And so, to me, the pitching's been bad. Why would it suddenly get better? The hitting's been inconsistent. Why would it suddenly get better? You're now facing the single toughest set of pitching and hitters that you faced through a three-game series to date. Why would everything suddenly change against the best competition you've played?
I still think they have the ability. Like, I'll give you an example. Last year, they had the Tennessee game one.
Yep.
Okay, and they were playing. You'd have said exactly what you just said. And heading Preston Johnson went out there and threw an absolute gem. And really, all they had to do is make a play, what, in the eighth inning, and they win that game. And I think the night before, they had been beaten like a football game 27-2 because I was there.
Yeah.
And then I had to drive home for Ella Hall's wedding, and I mean, not wedding, graduation. And we were so checked out. I think Tennessee started that game with back-to-back-to-back home runs, but I could be wrong. So the reason why I say that is the same reason we said that, like, Stony Brook, Dallas Baptist, and any number of small teams can beat, like, the number one Vanderbilt Commodores.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Mississippi State can win. I mean, Girangelo could pitch a gem for five innings, and then you piece it together.
All of
Plus,
that is-
you've got talent. See, you know, Hunter Hines can rake.
Correct.
Ross Highfield can hit. Amani Larry can hit the baseball.
Colton Ledbetter's been hitting.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I guess to answer your question, can Mississippi State score six and Vanderbilt score five and then win one game? Yeah. It can happen.
Yeah.
So, if you made me bet, I would say two of three.
That's what I was asking. I'm a probability guy. If I'm betting and the over-under's half a game, I'm taking the under at this point. I'd hope I'd be wrong. You would have better odds, probably.
I think I would.
I think State's going to be...
Because it's baseball.
And State's going to be favored to not win any of these games. Vanderbilt right now is always going to be the favorite in this situation.
Right.
But you're right. Can it happen? Absolutely. And I think if you're Chris Lamonis and company, you're going, as Steve Robertson said on Monday, you can't go into this thinking we just need to win one. I mean, you got to approach this like any other series. Like, we're here to win the series.
Yeah.
You got to figure that out. But the stats are alarming. They're near the bottom of the barrel.
Stats are alarming.
They're near the bottom of the barrel and everything. I mean, Ole Miss is in the same boat, though. Not with all the added pressure of an extra year of badness, but in terms of you can't go 0-6 either. You got to win one against
they can't.
Florida.
No,
and that's not a gimme.
It's not a gimme for Ole Miss either by any stretch. And I'm not actually convinced that they're in that much better of a situation currently than Mississippi State. Obviously, they have some injuries on the mound. Mississippi State's trying to, they have their number one dude, Hunter Elliott. Mississippi State has their number one dude, Cade Smith, not playing. Whenever that's the case, it's a different deal. And we'll just see how that looks. But you got to get one. If you got two, you almost throw a parade on Sunday afternoon at Swayze or Duty Noble Field. So if you get swept, the meltdown Monday will be, we've had some big ones during football and baseball, and this will be one of the bigger ones that we've had.
Put it up against, is it, Mullen losing to Matt Luke big? Is it Freeze getting, it's not that big yet, is it?
No.
Freeze getting fired big, so it's got to be somewhere in the middle maybe. It's a pretty, I mean.
I don't know, if Lamonis gets swept.
Is the writing on the wall at that
this
point?
This thing could, if it hasn't already, it could get out from under him. I can't believe I'm saying that. And that's a compliment to the staff because I never thought the staff would be in this situation.
Yeah. No,
I've already told
correct.
You I would have bet tens and tens of thousands of dollars that they would never be in this situation.
Yeah, we've talked about it with other staffs that we've seen. You go, hey, it didn't take long to realize the Joe Moorhead group wasn't headed in the right direction, right?
Right.
That wasn't the vibe you got from this group.
No.
Until last year.
No.
So it will be interesting to see.
And, Jake Gautreaux passed on Tulane and Rice.
Tulane's a heck of a job, too.
Yeah.
In college baseball.
I understand Rice. I get that. When I had the conversation with him, Houston is big, and not sure you want to do all. Some people do. Some people like raising their kids in a big major metropolitan area.
Tulane would have been.
And that's where he played. He was a first round pick with the New York Yankees out of Tulane.
Pretty
and it was a College World Series team that he played on. So, Out of Bounds, ESPN 105.9 The Zone, streaming live on the Out of Bounds radio app, and we'll have Steve Palazzolo coming up. Steve Palazzolo coming up next. To talk NFL QBs and all that jazz. Blake, Mudbugs is open today. You can get some crawfish and shrimp for the Sweet 16. They're also having their 10th annual Mudbugs Bash. Crawfish and all that jazz. Mm. Saturday, March 25th. It's the one on Old Fannin Road near the reservoir. Mudbugs. So after you go to the St. Patrick's Day Parade, or if you don't go to that, you can go to the big Mudbugs Bash. The Mudbugs on Old Fannin Road. They've got live music all day. It's the best crawfish in Mississippi. Shrimp's amazing. And it's a great way to watch some college baseball. And of course, we'll have the Elite Eight on that day. You got Sweet 16 tonight. and tomorrow night. Two SEC teams tonight. Arkansas playing UConn, Tennessee playing Florida Atlantic. And then that will be the Elite Eight on Saturday, which is great. This weekend is, I mean, last weekend was awesome. This weekend's going to be really good. We've got two powerhouses in Gonzaga and UCLA playing tonight. Mark Few has done everything except win the title. And Cronin is, he's a little freak as a coach. So
I didn't realize this, but UConn has won three national titles since 2000.
Yeah, so Calhoun knocked down two.
Yep.
And Kevin Ali knocked down one. I was in Las Vegas for the one where he beat Calipari. I don't remember what year that was, 13 or 14. And Big Blue was everywhere there. And I ended up at Mandalay for Sportsbook for some of it. And that place was popping throughout the evening, you know, because I mean, it's always rocking, but you throw in a big sporting event and people were going crazy. Big Blue Nation was all over. They thought they had that game in the bag, and Kevin Ali and UConn kind of come out of nowhere and win that national title, Blake.
Shabazz Napier was on that team.
Yes, I remember him.
Yeah, they did beat Kentucky. That was 2014. They also won it in 11 and in 2004. I was doing some quick math over there because we were talking about how bad the Big Ten is in basketball.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't had a title since 2000. That was Michigan State.
Yeah.
In baseball, they haven't had a title since 1966. And in football, they've only had two titles since the 2000 year. That was Ohio State twice.
Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer.
So it's been a tough 23 seasons for the Big Ten.
Well, kids want to play in the SEC. They want to play in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, the SEC by far away blows everyone away. 14 football titles, 9 baseball titles, 3 basketball titles.
It doesn't matter if it's golf or tennis, track and field, football, hoops, baseball. Kids want to play in this area. We're live in the Bank Plus studio. Steve Palazzolo on Gardner Minshew, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, QB1 in the NFL. Palazzolo coming up next on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. Baby, get a blister on your...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Out of Bounds Show is powered by the award-winning golf courses at Dancing Rabbit Golf Club in Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Woo! Let's talk some football. We are the Out of Bounds Show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone. This segment's brought to you by Independent Roofing Systems, the number one commercial and industrial roofing company in Mississippi. Roofing.ms, powered by Independent Roofing Systems. This is ESPN 105.9 The Zone. We're streaming live for you on thezone1059.com. And you can hit YouTube right now and search Out of Bounds Sports and watch the show. We put the Delta State helmet up on the set today. Should have been up for a while. And they've got their big baseball, the Boo Ferris Invitational is today, where they're raising money for Delta State's baseball program. And they've hit a home run. The thing filled up. They've had all kinds of great sponsors. Boo Ferris played at Mississippi State and for the Boston Red Sox. At a time when some guy named Ted Williams played and then went on to have an unbelievable coaching career with Delta State, which started off, you know, they've been a powerhouse, College World Series left and right, won the national championship back in 04 or 05. And so they'll have their big golf tournament at Lake Caroline today. We're excited for them. And we're live in the Bank Plus studio. We'll welcome in Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, PFF, NFL Insider. He's got the podcast. They're all kinds of numbers nerds. They're running the analytics, having fun. And Steve Palazzolo, what do you think about Gardner Minshew going to the Indianapolis Colts? Good move for Minshew?
By the way, I was going to start by saying Delta State was at the College World Series the same time I was. Division II College World Series back in either 01 or 02, maybe both years.
Really?
Powerhouse back then, yeah. I had a couple professional teammates that played there as well somewhere along the way. So a couple connections there.
Oh, small world. That's so cool. Yeah, they've been winning for years, for decades in the Mississippi Delta. Now, where were you playing at that time?
University of Massachusetts at Lowell.
Okay.
So we were UMass Lowell. We were back-to-back World Series 01 and 02, and Delta State was there at least one of those 2 years.
Did y'all play?
Them, but they were down there at the same time.
Okay. Where was it?
Montgomery, Alabama, every year. I don't know if they've changed since then, but yeah, we always would go to Bama.
Okay. Blake, I guess they were playing at the Biscuit Stadium or something like that, maybe a minor league ballpark. Does that sound right, Steve?
It may have been. Yeah, I ended up playing. I mean, I think I stopped by I played the Biscuits one time back in 2010 later on. But yeah, it was all I remember. It was small. We got down there and our guys were hitting home runs left and right during batting practice. And then I was giving up home runs left and right once I got in there when I was a freshman. So yeah, I remember it being small.
For our listeners, Steve Palazzolo made it to AAA with the San Francisco Giants. I had that right, right?
Yes, that's right. Giants and Mariners in AAA, yeah.
Okay. Who's your favorite Major League Baseball team?
I'm from the Boston area, so I've always had the Red Sox. But I went through stages where I loved the Rangers back in the 90s.
And sorry.
I've adopted the Reds as my National League team as a Cincinnatian now.
Okay. Red Sox. Well, there you go. Boo Ferris played for the Red Sox. Jonathan. There's a lot of Mississippi State ties between Boo Ferris and Jonathan Papelbon playing. Both played at Mississippi State and then played for the Red Sox. In fact, I don't know if you know this, Steve Palazzolo, but Teddy Ballgame, Ted Williams was quoted as saying, if Boo Ferris doesn't hurt his arm, then the Red Sox win a couple of World Series. He was 24-5 or something. And then, you know, back then when he got hurt, you didn't come back, but just thought I'd throw that out there. All right, back to football. Steve Palazzolo on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. What do you think about the move, Gardner Minshew, to the Indianapolis Colts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good one for the Colts. You know, I love having Minshew in the building, so to speak, because I think he's going to be at least one of the better backups in the league, you know, in the coming years. And obviously the Colts are going to have a young quarterback in there as soon as they pick at number four, if they trade up. So I think it's fine. You know, there's a, depending on who they get and depending on how they want to handle their rookie quarterback development, there could be some games to start for Minshew. And I think when you, so he could be the guy that's out there 5 or 6 weeks or who knows, while say an Anthony Richardson is sitting and learning or whatever it might be. So who knows if there'll be some starting opportunities there, but I think there's a possibility because we see that a lot of times. Not every first round quarterback starts right away. So I think Minshew could have some opportunities there with the Colts.
Do you get the sense the Anthony Richardson thing could play out as a disaster, or how do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of quarterback evaluation can. I don't see missing on quarterbacks as a disaster. I kind of view it differently. I view it as these are necessary high potential value risks that you need to take. So obviously there's risk associated with Richardson or even CJ Stroud, who seems like he's a cleaner prospect, but there's risk associated with it. But yeah, with Richardson in particular, there's hurdles, there's accuracy hurdles, there's just the fact that he was good, not great in the SEC for Florida. There are hurdles, but then there's also the potential that everybody's going to be tantalized by. So yeah, I think there's definitely some risk with Richardson.
So if you're not going to get Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, why not go after Lamar Jackson, a proven commodity?
I mean, I definitely would. I mean, even with multiple first rounders and then the pending contract, I still think that is the right play for certain teams. I'm not sure. Now, part of that might be teams wanting to wait after the draft, not in say the Falcons. They could try to match or try to make an offer for Lamar Jackson for two first rounders, and they wouldn't have to give up this year's number 8 overall pick, and maybe their future first rounders that they give up are in the 20s because they have Lamar Jackson. So I think there's still a game to be played there potentially to see if Lamar is going to be on the move. But I mean, I would absolutely be in on the Lamar stuff because of the uncertainty that you have with the other quarterbacks.
Okay. And if they, let's just say the Colts do draft Anthony Richardson out of Florida. I mean, Minshew may start 8 to 10 games, but if he's playing real well, I don't know, he may get a red shirt. I mean, it's happened to other players recently, even the best guy in the game by the name of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued by the red shirt because I think teams are always so hesitant to do that because, you know, they just drafted a guy and the fans want to see him. You want to know what you have, and you only have him for a few years. But I think there's something to be said for patience. You know, the phrase I always use with ready, you do best for their degree, right? You don't just put them in to get them experience. You don't just sit them to sit them. Whenever you feel like they're ready to play and they have their learning under their belt, so to speak, then they should go. And I think that's how you handle Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, doesn't matter. So, yeah, there's definitely a possibility, though, that people will view Richardson as a guy that they should, you know, slow play a little bit and give him some time. And if that is Indy, then, yeah, Minshew could have some opportunity.
Okay. Yeah, nobody takes the Green Bay Packers approach. That's unheard of in this league. And really, maybe they're the only ones that could do it because they don't have an owner breathing down their neck. I mean, it's almost like the movie with Costner, you know, that we've all watched where, I mean, these billionaires can't help it, right? I mean, it's the new candy. And they're like, I've got to unwrap it, right? It's like a new present. But Green Bay is the one exception without an owner breathing down the GM's neck / the head coach to get the number 1, number 4, number 8 pick on the field right away, right? Especially at that position, Steve?
Yeah, and so obviously they did it with Aaron Rodgers and let him sit for three years. And then, you know, he gets his shot. Jordan Love just sat for 3 years, and now he's likely going to get his shot. The difference is maybe the economics of it right now, where the first contract quarterback in the first round, like Jordan Love, now you only have 2 more potential years of him. They're both pretty cost controlled compared to other quarterbacks, but that's what teams are fearful of, where it's like, hey, I only have this guy for 4 years really on the cheap. His fifth year is more money, but it's certainly manageable compared to what big name quarterbacks are getting. So they want to maximize that rookie contract. So I think that's part of the reason why there's some impatience. And then just the general thought that experience means development. And I'm not necessarily sure that's the case. I mean, if Jordan Love comes out and looks like the next Aaron Rodgers or anything close, it's going to be like, all right, let's look at all these guys that have sat. Tom Brady sat for a year just because he wasn't, you know, he was a sixth rounder. But Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers sat, Patrick Mahomes sat. There's a lot of guys that sat for an entire season, basically, and had great development. So I am intrigued by that, like the patient approach that I know that most teams certainly won't take.
Okay, when you – which piece of the puzzle do you buy? You know, you hear all this, you can't pay a quarterback $50 million because you don't have enough money. But, yeah, like Lewis Riddick and Andrew Brandt scoff at a lot of that. I mean – the salary cap this year is $225 million. So many of these guys are absolute role players that you should be able to get for $5 million or less, let's be honest. That may not be how it works. Which path do you subscribe to on that, Steve Palazzola?
I mean, you can absolutely pay the quarterback, but you don't want to pay every quarterback. That's the issue. Of course you can afford $50 million. If it's Mahomes or Allen or Joe Burrow, and they're going to elevate your team and just you're going to be in the mix every single year. So now, of course, we talk Dak a lot on the show, and I think he's probably that cutoff of, you know, guy that's in the 40s that you could still win with. I don't like Daniel Jones in the 40s. I think that's riskier, right? So, I mean, it's like pulling levers, right? The more you put on your quarterback, the more you have to get out of him. And the more you put on the quarterback who can't elevate the team, let's say a Daniel Jones, the more you have to put around him, the more you need your team to be a juggernaut. So I think when you talk about team building, I'll pay the elite quarterback any day, but there's probably some sort of tipping point between the good first contract quarterback and the good veteran quarterback who's making $40 million, right? There's some sort of tipping point there where you get the rookie contract is so much more valuable because that allows you to go get an A.J. Brown, say, if you're the Eagles. It allows you to probably get three or four other players that are going to elevate your quarterback. So that's where the tipping point is. Does Patrick Mahomes need those three or four other players? Not as much. He's good enough that when they lose Tyreek Hill and they get younger, they could still win a Super Bowl. There's only a handful of those guys, though. So, yeah, you could pay the quarterback. You just can't pay every quarterback because some quarterbacks just simply can't compete at that level of Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and, you know, the elites of the league.
Okay. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, PFF.com on the Out of Bounds show. Rank your top four QBs going into the NFL, coming out of college. Going into the NFL draft?
Oh, for this year? I'd go Bryce Young, and then I cop out and I say I kind of have a tie for C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, and then I would go Will Levis. But the tie for Stroud and Levis, Stroud and Richardson is based upon your risk appetite. You know, I like Stroud as a first contract quarterback where if I dropped him into a really good situation, I think that's a pretty valuable player that could, you know, run the offense and do well for his first 4 or 5 years. And you just make sure you have this really good team around him. And then I think Richardson is the upside play, right? If you're willing to try to hit a home run and you think Richardson can become even close to the next, whatever, Josh Allen or Cam Newton or whatever you want to call it, then you take that shot on Anthony Richardson. But I would say it's Young, Stroud, Richardson, and then Levis, loosely.
Okay. Young, Stroud, Richardson.
Stroud and Richardson together, yeah.
Wow. This Anthony Richardson thing is going to be crazy to see what happens.
Well, here's part of it, right? You have to win from the pocket. You have to win in the pass game, right? I completely acknowledge that. But Richardson's rushing ability is special. And when you have that, not only does it create 800 to 1,200 maybe yards on the ground and makes defenses account for it, it creates easier throws if used properly. It creates open throws. I think that's what's made Lamar so good. Lamar Jackson had accuracy issues coming out of college. I don't think they really went away. He's more accurate than he was, but he's middle of the pack at best in the NFL. But he has more open throws because defenses have to account for his rush threat, and they can run play action and misdirection and all that fun stuff. That's where the Richardson stuff comes into play. I don't think he's going to, you know, just start looking like Drew Brees or anything like that, but I think his life will be easier in as far as creating open throws because of his running ability versus, say, someone like C.J. Stroud who doesn't have that and has to be better in the pocket, has to win with his accuracy, has to win with his decision-making. So that's where the Richardson stuff is intriguing because I think his skill set will open things up for him to make life a little bit easier.
NFL insider Steve Palazzolo on the Out of Bounds show. What do you think will be different from with Kellen Moore leaving town in Dallas as Dak Prescott's offensive coordinator and Mike McCarthy understanding that he's got to get it done this year and he's decided it's going to be on him and he's going to make the calls? How do you think the offense will look and how will it be different in 2023 for Dak and Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys?
I like Mike, but you guys might want Kellen Moore back a few games into this. I mean, just based off some of the quotes where it sounds like Mike McCarthy wants to run the ball a little bit more, and, you know, he's viewing the game, and his quotes are essentially saying, I view the game as a head coach, right, where we're just trying to win. We're not trying to put the most points on the board necessarily, and, you know, Kellen didn't always get that, essentially. So that's where there's some truth in all of that, but the best way to protect your defense is to score the most points. I'm a big believer in that. If you score 7 points, that's the best thing that you could do for your defense, whether it happens in 30 seconds or 10 minutes. You score 7 points, it's the best thing you can do for your team. So, yeah, it sounds like McCarthy might want to run a little bit more ball control, work the run game a little bit more. I mean, I love the move to bring in Brandon Cooks. That'll help. That's, you know me, talking about bringing in shiny objects and receivers. All that's good. We'll see, though, man. If Mike McCarthy falls into what he did with Green Bay, it became very dependent on his playmakers to just win one-on-ones. Hey, just go win. And he wasn't scheming things open toward the end of his tenure with Green Bay. So if he gets back to that, it can be tough. If he, you know, Kellen did a nice job of spreading the ball around and doing some different things. Hopefully there's some versatility. And then McCarthy, maybe there is a little bit more game control with him calling the plays. But, yeah, we'll see. Should be interesting.
Okay, that was depressing. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. No, that's cool. I get it.
People change. People change, you know? You never know.
Yeah, okay. And with the Eagles ascending and the Giants ascending, I may just, after this interview, go out in the hallway and throw up. Maybe I can rely on Washington to continue to, screw around and not be any good. Let's go to the Saints division. And do you think that Baker Mayfield can resurrect his career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Probably not. I think I'm out. I think I'm out on Baker. There's always hope. I think the struggle there is we just saw them have trouble offensively last year when Tom Brady was there, even if it was 45-year-old Tom Brady. But the offensive line took a bit of a hit, and they just were ineffective offensively. I know they've got new coordinator and all that stuff. You still have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Russell Gage, but they have a lot of work to do on the offensive line. I think we'll see that middle tier type of Baker Mayfield.
Okay,
you know, the middle part of the roller coaster ride for him.
Okay, so who's a guy that we don't talk about that could emerge at, you know, NFL QB who could emerge and start? Maybe he's in tier three or tier two. Who could emerge even in the bottom part of in the top part of tier two or bottom part of tier one? Steve,
who's where right now? They're ranked where?
All right, so we're talking about a guy who's good, but could trend towards being really good to great. Is there somebody out there, or is it Jalen Hurts? I mean, I think people are going a little crazy over Jalen and actually what he had to do compared to what they set up around him. But you may disagree. You may say, no, Bo, he's legit. He's going to be great, and I expect him to rip off, you know, seven fabulous years or really good years with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I think Hurts, I mean, Hurts might be the most interesting one there. I mean, I know Pittsburgh fans want to remind me that it's Kenny Pickett and that they're very optimistic that Kenny Pickett's going to be like the next Joe Burrow. I'm not ready to go there. Hurts could be the guy because he was absolutely in a favorable situation. AJ Brown, having Devontae Smith, having the Dallas Goedert at tight end. Love that, right? I mean, they did a great job there. But much like I said about Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts' skill set is a big part of what opens things up, right? You have this high floor part of the offense, which is, hey, I could steal rushing yards, whether it's as QB sneaks, but just as a scrambler, as a design runner. Those are hidden yards that are really valuable for the team and then opens things up in the pass game. I don't think Hurts is going to lose any of that. I think where it's going to be more challenging as he gets paid, the same thing we just talked about at the beginning of the interview, right? Like when he gets paid, it's going to be harder to maintain an A.J. Brown and that great receiving core and that great offensive line. So can he be the guy that elevates everything? I think Hurts can be a top eight Dak Prescott type of guy. Absolutely. Because Hurts continues to get better. And even though he took his biggest step as he had his best supporting cast, it's still year three, and I think we've seen him continue to improve. So I can see Hurts being that guy. I'm not ready to put him in the great category, but I think Hurts will be in that top 8 to 10 quarterback range, which is, again, very interesting when you start paying him. That's pretty much, I think, the cutoff that I'm comfortable with.
I want to talk Hendon Hooker next week. Because it's going to be...
Please don't make me watch that offense. Please.
Oh, you're just...
It's just... So,
no?
It's so bad for evaluating players. It's a great college offense. It's so bad for watching... For evaluating.
Well, what was the difference in that? What Anthony Richardson was trying to do at Florida? Or C.J. Stroud at Ohio State?
Concepts that are going to happen in the NFL. They run real pass concepts at Florida.
Oh.
Tennessee's just a whole bunch of one-on-ones and chuck it deep. It's great for college. It's fun, but it's not very projectable.
Yeah, right. When he's starting year two, we'll talk about it. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, take your kids to Chick-fil-A. It sounds like they're hungry. You need to do a show.
I'm on daddy duty. It's just me and the four kids this weekend.
So, oh my gosh, dude!
Sorry if you heard them in the background.
No, they were great. That is like riding a 4,000-pound bull. Good luck with that, Steve Palazzolo. Take care.
All right, thank you.
He joined us on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. Don't forget that it's game day with the Sweet 16. It's brought to you by Boar's Head. Put together an amazing Boar's Head charcuterie board. Or Boar's Head Nachos, Boar's Head Premium Meats, Cheeses, and Hummus. Boar's Head, compromise elsewhere.